How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Hey guys, it's Candace.
And it's Elena.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime. I'm all pickled up. Elena brought me a pickle snow cone and I'm living my best life over here.
Yeah. The last few weeks I've asked, do you want a pickle cone?
Yeah.
And it just worked out this week. So
it did, because we've got a new one in the area that's on the way here.
Right.
As opposed to her having to pass my house and go to like all the way down.
The really good one that
the
I like.
The really good one. But yeah, we tried the new one and it's pretty
tasty.
Good. Yeah. I have feedback, but you know, they're just getting their bearings. We are pickle connoisseurs.
Right.
I mean, not pickle, snow cone connoisseurs, if you didn't know.
Yeah.
But I also am a pickle connoisseur.
I was about to say, you're the one.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, so Elena, you're gearing up to go to Florida.
Sure.
By the time this airs, you'll already be back.
Probably.
There's no way they can find you.
No way.
No possible way.
Don't be telling people where I'm going.
I know, right? I went to Oklahoma this past weekend.
And how was it?
Yeah, it was good. Hazel cried when we left, and then
she cried
when she went to sleep and said, I want to go back.
Oh, see, it's just a magical place.
I know.
I loved the pictures that you posted of her, because she just looked like she was having a blast.
She was. She really was. So it was nice.
Did you spend time out on the porch, like looking? I know you
did.
Were leery of that.
I did. I sat there and I watched the fireflies.
Wasn't that so neat?
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, there's a ton out
there. Next time we'll have to take like some nets and see if we can capture them.
Oh, yeah.
And observe them and then set them free, of course. Don't want any hate mail for that. I will be setting them free. But yeah, it was nice. But the story I have for you today is not nice.
Oh, no. I mean, of course not.
It's about a family, but
this seems to be the going thing these days with you.
No. So our story takes place in Dublin, California. It's about 20 minutes from Oakland as the crow flies. And in 2009, it was a really safe place to live. Former Dublin officer Jared Hathaway said that back then they were dealing with like one homicide every other year.
That's all?
Yeah. So I've never heard that statistic in any of the cases that we've covered.
Yeah, because to me, being that close to Oakland, I feel like there would be more.
Yeah. But this is outside of Oakland.
Okay.
It's a residential area. And I mean, not that Oakland isn't. Oakland is a bigger city with more crime.
It's
but
like comparing probably Dallas to Fort Worth. Like, don't do that.
Well,
I wonder if they...
Dallas and Fort Worth are the same, though.
No.
Yeah. So Saginaw and Fort Worth. Let's say that.
Dallas is not the same as Fort Worth.
What I'm saying is size-wise. Fort Worth is massive.
Okay.
So there's tons of little small towns in Fort Worth.
If we're talking size, then yes, I get that.
Anywho, everyone's bored already.
Yeah.
They've already turned it off.
I'm just trying to argue with you here.
Hello? Anyone?
Anyone there?
Bueller? So, yeah, I was really surprised to hear him say that. In 2009, it was a long time ago. But it wasn't in my mind. I'm thinking it was yesterday.
It's still the 2000s.
I know, right? We so often talk about, you know, neighborhoods being a great place to have a family, like settle down and raise your family. And what about all the people that have already been there and done that, though? 91-year-old Selma Hill, her friends called her Sally. So I'm going to call her Sally because I would totally be her friend. She was one such person that just wanted a quiet place to live. She had a boyfriend named Lester who was 90.
How cute is that?
I know. They're so cute. I'm going to post pictures of them. Lester had bladder cancer and Sally had mobility issues, and she often used a walker to get around. Her eyesight was declining. So the couple didn't live together, but they spent Thursday through Sunday usually at his condo. And then she would go back home. And then when they weren't together, they spoke regularly every day. He would call her at 4 p.m. on the button without fail. But on January 7th, 2009, Lester hadn't heard from Sally all day. His calls went unanswered. So he asked his son, Jeffrey, to go check on Sally. Isn't that so cute?
That is adorable.
He's like, will you go over there and check on her? Jeffrey and his wife, Uta, arrived at Sally's around 5:30 p.m. and the house was still. No one answered when they knocked, and they kind of walked around, you know, peering into windows, but it was quiet. There was nothing going on. They knew that Eric Hill, Sally's grandson, who lived with her, would be arriving home any minute now from work. So they thought, well, let's just wait for him till he gets here. Eric, having just picked up his daughter, Elizabeth, from daycare, soon arrived home and was a little perplexed to see Jeffrey and Uta waiting for him there. Now, I don't know his, like, the depth of his relationship with them. You know, this is his grandmother's boyfriend's children.
Okay. Yeah.
So, but they did know each other and they were acquainted. And so when he saw them there, he was like, oh, hi, what are you doing here? And perhaps he thought maybe they were bringing Lester over for a visit. But when Eric was informed that Sally had been unreachable all day, he was like, well, let's go inside and check on her. You see, when Eric left the house that morning at 7 a.m., his grandmother was still asleep. So come to think of it, he hadn't even spoken to her all day. Now, Jeffrey and his wife followed Eric and Elizabeth into the house and kind of awkwardly waited in the foyer while Eric called out to his grandmother before heading upstairs where her bedroom was. When he reached Sally's bedroom, he didn't find his grandmother, but he found his ex-mother-in-law, May, hiding near the closet.
Hiding?
Now, you might think this is weird. Like, this is really weird.
I do think that's weird.
But it gets so weird. So let's go with me here.
Okay.
He's confused and frustrated. Okay. He's like, what are you doing here? Because May and Sally, they were not friends. And besides, Eric was not getting along with his estranged wife and her side of the family. So there would have been no reason for May to have been in Sally's bedroom or any other room in the house for that matter. You know what I mean? So Eric says, what are you doing here? Where is my grandmother, May? And May told Eric, oh, she's downstairs. She's in the garage.
Oh.
And he's like, what? It was at this point that Eric felt his stomach turn with an unexpected fear. He wasn't sure what was going on, whether she was in the garage or out shopping. Neither of those explanations would have satisfied him because he knew something wasn't right. So he headed for the door. He runs out the bedroom door and then all hell breaks loose.
Oh my gosh.
Eric ran for the top of the stairs and his tiny little ex-wife, Rosa, emerges from Elizabeth's bedroom and tased him a couple times in the back, in the legs, in the neck, and he hit the floor like a sack of bricks. Now, don't forget, Jeffrey and Uta are downstairs.
I'm wondering about them.
I mean, when all this kicks off, they're just like, whoa, what's going on? Well, when they heard the taser, the popping of the taser, they thought it was gunshots. So they ran out the door. Yeah. So they run out the door to a neighbor's house and said, call 911. The neighbor told the dispatch that he wasn't sure what was going on, but there was a situation over at his neighbor's house, and you can hear Uta in the background kind of talking him through what they just heard, saying, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing? And heard gunshots, what they thought was gunshots. So while police were being alerted to this chaos that was a result of a welfare check in the first place, mm-hmm. Rosa is upstairs beating Eric with a retractable baton. When he realized he was bleeding, like, he realized the severity of it, the beating. He's like, they're trying to kill me. Like, and it just occurred to him, like, this is not going the way I thought it might. You know, I don't know what I thought was going to happen when this person tased me, but I certainly didn't think they were trying to kill me, but now I do. He shoved Rosa into Elizabeth's bedroom and somehow got the baton out of her hand, landing a couple blows to May.
Oh, wow. To regain your strength after being tased, I'm sure that was very difficult.
Well, I'll post pictures of these people. May and Rosa, I watched a documentary. They referred to them as 100 pounds soaking wet.
Mm.
And Eric is quite a beefy, burly guy.
Okay.
So, yeah, he could probably take them both at the same time. And he did hold his own pretty good.
And wait, he had his daughter with him?
Yes. So he had taken her upstairs with him.
Oh,
and
Lord.
When he saw May, he kind of set Elizabeth down. And then she ran off somewhere and he didn't know where she was.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. After whacking May a couple times, she charged at him. He pushes May down on the floor just in time to see Rosa scrambling to reach something on the ground near her. Eric is still on the floor. Okay. He's not been able to get up this whole time because once he was tased, he went down.
Yeah.
And now he's fighting these women off from the floor. So he's trying to get his bearings and get to his feet when Rosa emerged from the bedroom, crouched over him, and put a gun to his chest.
Oh, my Lord.
May and Rosa just erupted into screaming and chaos. Give up custody of Elizabeth. Say it. Say you'll give her up. That's what all this was about. Eric knew that Rosa was unhinged ever since their custody battle over their daughter. She made his life a living hell. But this was next level.
Yeah, like he's really going to want to give up custody now.
Yeah.
I mean, if he didn't before.
He's like, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm definitely.
Just tell her yes for now and then.
Exactly. And that's what he did. So Rosa wanted Elizabeth and she was showing him. You know, she had been showing him how far she was willing to go, but now she's like, I've got nothing to lose. So she pressed the gun deeper into his chest and made him agree. Say I can have Elizabeth, she demanded. Eric put his hands in the air and said, I agree, to appease Rosa and May. And just then they could hear faint police sirens, which were getting louder and louder and closer to the house by the second. May stood guard over Eric while Rosa went to the window to check things out. She could see the police coming down the street. By the time she realized she was in trouble, the police were already inside the house.
Nice.
Yes. This was a quick response. Now, when the police come in, they can hear people upstairs and a man saying, please don't kill me. And when they get up there, here's what they see. Okay, they don't have the luxury of what I just told you. Okay, they see a man crawling around on the floor in the upstairs hallway, blood droplets all over the floor, blood smear on the walls. They see a woman dressed in black standing at the other end of the hallway, bleeding from the face. And then out of the corner of their eye, they catch the reflection from a mirror in one of the bedrooms of another lady hiding in one of the rooms. And they have absolutely no idea what they've just walked into. Now, the man crawling on the floor, Eric, is shouting, where's my daughter? And police are like, hey, you on the floor, stop moving. Okay? Because they don't know this guy. They don't know if he's responsible for all this. Eric was trying to get to his feet.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So he was worried about Elizabeth.
If I was Eric, I would have been saying, she has a gun. She has a gun.
He did end up telling them that, but...
Sorry, I'm getting ahead of
you. Yes, but he had brought her upstairs, like I said, when he was looking for his grandmother. And then the madness broke out and he wasn't sure where she went. She was two at the time. But the police had to get control of the situation first and foremost. So when Eric gets up and goes for Elizabeth's door, they tased him.
No.
poor guy. They tased him and then they cuffed him. So in that moment, they felt that he was the threat as opposed to these two tiny little women. And as they're leading Eric out of the house, down the stairs to the patrol car, he's still talking. My daughter's in there. I don't know where she is. And he said, they have weapons. Uh-huh. They have a gun. They have this. They have that. They tased me, bro. Like all this stuff. And so Deputy Hathaway ended up finding Elizabeth in hiding in a bedroom, hiding in a bathroom, crying, but unharmed. And she was placed into foster care for the night. Oh, it's so sad. It breaks my heart when they, and I understand they have to do that while they're sorting everything out, but oh,
I know. Too bad they couldn't give them to Lester's son to take. I mean, I guess maybe they didn't
but
have
they don't
the
know
right.
them, you know. It's yeah. like they're putting her into protective custody.
Yeah,
people that have been, you know, verified from the state and
poor thing.
Place they know is safe. But that is just, I mean, Eric was beside himself. Deputy Hathaway and his partner, Deputy Daniel Mollison, searched May and Rosa. And sure enough, they found a handgun in amongst Rosa's multiple layers of black clothing.
She kept it on her person?
She had it on her. Like a ding-a-ling.
Wow.
Yes. And at the revelation that they find this gun, May's like, I have a stun gun in my pocket. And they're like, great, give that to me, please. So Rosa and her mom were sat outside on the curb and they were questioned by police. And Rosa said, you know, I just came over to Sally's to see my daughter. And my mom came with me because I don't trust Eric. So this is the story that police are getting. Rosa said that when she got to Sally's, the door was open. So she just went inside. And that's when Eric produced a gun and attacked her and her mother. And she was able to get the gun away from Eric, which is why she had it on her. And as for Sally, they never saw Sally. So they don't know what to tell you about that. Eric, Rosa, and May were all transported to the hospital to be assessed and treated for their minor injuries. Eric was beat up. He was bleeding. May had like a cut on her forehead that was bleeding down her face. It looked a lot worse than it actually was. But much of the details, like who hurt who, was still very unclear. But they were making sense of who was who at this point. Police learned that Eric and Rosa were married, estranged, but they were still married. And they shared a 2-year-old little girl that was now in protective custody.
Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Now here's what they learned about Eric and Rosa. In 2002, Eric worked at the Alameda County Social Services Office. Ironic. And his coworker, May Lee, introduced him to her daughter, Rosa.
Oh.
Dun, dun, dun. Eric really liked her, okay? She was smart. She worked in Silicon Valley in IT. So shortly after they met, they began dating. They later married in 2005, and the couple lived with her parents, May and Ping Lee, for a few months before buying their own place. In June of 2006, they welcomed their daughter, Elizabeth, into the world. And that was really the beginning of the end of the marriage. Eric reported, really from the time he married Rosa, she had started changing into a different person. But the friction reached a fever pitch when the baby was born. Now, Rosa was home with the baby and not working. So he took on a second job at Walgreens, which wasn't helping the situation. And I can see in his mind how he's thinking, okay, I've got to get another job. I've got to financially, you know, help the family and keep us afloat while she's not working. But I can also see Rosa slumming it, breast milk all over her, formula, whatever it is. And she has no help at home.
Mm-hmm. And she just wants him to be there.
And she just wants help. And he comes home and he's tired from working two jobs all day. So I see.
It's a vicious cycle.
I can see how volatile that probably got. So they ended up separating in March of 2007. Eric moved in with his grandmother, Sally Hill, and for the time being, Rosa had custody of Elizabeth. I don't think there was anything. I think it was just like a temporary situation before they got it all worked out. But Rosa would not cordially agree to a custody arrangement. She was withholding Eric's daughter, and she didn't want him to see her. So he was forced to begin legal proceedings because he didn't want just visitation. He wanted 50-50 custody. He thought that was the right thing. And, you know, part of me feels for Rosa because she was a new mother. Perhaps she was experiencing some severe postpartum mental health issues, which could account for the worsening relationship between her and Eric. Or maybe she was just a whack job. I don't know. Let's talk. Let's find out. Rosa was doing anything and everything she could to make Eric's life a misery. She called his work and told them that he had been violent towards her and been molesting their daughter. None of which,
oh my gosh,
was true or could be substantiated. And he was actually denied entry into his workplace. I don't think he was fired. I think they just were like, hey, need you to go home while we sort this out, you know? But a CPS worker, Carolyn Lacativo, I hope I'm saying that right, she told Eric that she was concerned with Rosa's erratic behavior as well, that she was observing, which I, you know, you think CPS workers, they have to be neutral. They have to be Switzerland. And here she is going, you might want to be careful there. And man, these CPS workers have seen some things.
Yeah, I feel like as a CPS worker, you should have some kind of discernment.
Exactly. Very intuitive right. about parental behaviors. And for her to say something, you know, just make sure you're looking at Elizabeth when she's in your care. See if there's anything different or of note going on out of the ordinary. So during these custody proceedings, Rosa and Eric were both ordered to undergo psych evals at the next custody hearing. They both passed. Everything was fine. And the court ordered 50-50 custody. Well, this was a loss to Rosa.
Okay? She didn't want to share.
She didn't want to share. Not half and half. Not nothing. Eric was very happy. He was content with the arrangement. But Eric told the mediator that Rosa would not return Elizabeth on time. So they would have, you know, these custody drop-offs. And she would just be late, an hour, 2 hours. And then he would be waiting around. She just did anything she had control over, she pushed his buttons.
Ooh, I know people like that.
Mm-hmm. The other thing was that the court had ordered Elizabeth to be in daycare. So this was the arrangement with the court that while they were both working during the day, Elizabeth would be in daycare. However, Rosa refused to get a job. The court told her, you know, you need to get a job, put her in daycare so that there's like a neutral space she can be in while you both are working. Plus, Rosa not working, that doesn't look good for a custody arrangement.
No.
So she would withhold her from daycare because she didn't have a job. So she just wouldn't take her in. And that was a violation of their agreement. So Rosa's chipping away at Eric's very last bit of patience here. And at some point, the courts were alerted to this madness. Well, Eric was awarded sole custody, sole legal custody, and 85% physical custody of their daughter. So she got some visitation, but he had her. I mean, he was...
You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes.
Thank you. Yes. Now, you can probably imagine that if Rosa was mad about 50-50 custody, she was seeing red now.
Ooh.
For investigators, Eric and Rosa's history was really starting to put things into perspective for them. But there was just one thing they couldn't figure out still. Where was Sally?
Yeah.
This whole night, like I said, began as a welfare check for a sweet little old lady. And it turned out into this.
Poor Lester still has not found his girlfriend.
I know. So where was Sally? Before Eric was whisked away to the hospital, he told the police that something was very wrong. He said, I can't find my grandmother. My grandmother wouldn't just call a cab and leave. It's not like she could drive away and go somewhere. She wasn't sprightly. She was pretty homebound and had trouble walking even from one place to another. So she had to be at home unless she was taken somewhere. Police were looking, and believe me when I say they were looking everywhere, in every room, in every closet, under beds, behind doors. And while they still couldn't find Sally, they were starting to find other things in the house.
What?
That made them go, what the heck is going on here? Was this really a custody incident? Like, was this really a disagreement or something far worse? Inside the condo, stashed in different hiding places, they found latex gloves, a .22 caliber set of ammunition bullets. That was, wow, the way I said that was so like Valley Girl, like a set of like bullets.
I mean, we are talking about California.
I mean, I have it in my notes proper, .22 caliber ammunition. I don't know why I couldn't have just said that. Carrying on, they found a knife, a taser, a retractable baton that at this point was bent from beating Eric, and they found another stun gun.
So they were planning something way bigger than what they even got to do.
Sure were. Now in the backyard, tucked away between a wheelbarrow and the fence, like the wheelbarrow was propped up against the fence and someone had hidden this black backpack there. Police open this backpack and there's even more weapons. According to court records, there was packing tape, rope, handcuffs, another knife, crossbow arrows.
What?
A pry bar and more .22 caliber ammunition. Now, they couldn't be sure who this backpack belonged to. It didn't have any ID or anything in it, but it definitely looked intentionally staged to be used at some point that night or whenever. Now, the more weapons they found at the house, the more they feared for Sally's safety. She was nowhere in the home. They had scoured every nook and cranny, but there was one place they hadn't searched yet. There was a storage shed in the backyard that was padlocked, and they thought, please, no. No, no, no. Now, given all the other stuff they found in and outside the home, I think it would hold up in court that they were good to snap off that lock and go look inside.
Oh, for sure.
So they cut off the padlock and they entered the shed, and that's where they located Sally. Sweet, beautiful, vulnerable, and helpless 91-year-old Selma Hill was wrapped in a sheet and stuffed in a trash can.
Oh my gosh.
It was just the worst discovery any of them could have imagined.
Why did they even have to do that? Why?
When they pulled her out to, they knew who it was, well, but yeah. When they pulled her out just to make sure, Sally had a plastic bag over her head. It was, I mean, the detectives said it was just the worst possible end to the night. Now, Sally's autopsy revealed blunt force injuries to her head and neck, and she had signs of taser burns on her skin. So they obviously tased her too. Ultimately, her death was ruled a homicide by asphyxiation. Just the worst way to go. Now, they're thinking they cuffed the wrong person now.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, well, clearly Eric is not the one we should be looking at, because he wouldn't have done this to his grandmother. There was no indication. I mean, he was very upset when they took him off to the hospital. He was very concerned with where she was and how she was. One keen deputy standing outside in the dark while everyone else is, you know, dealing with other stuff, notices a silver Prius parked down the street, and a man was sitting inside. Now, this car had been parked there for hours, like while they were, and he saw the man in there, and he's like, the guy's still sitting in that car. Well, he goes up to the man, and this man is Ping Lee, Rosa's dad. And with him in the car was another backpack, which contained May's identification, a red wig, pepper spray, a flashlight, and directions to Sally's house.
Oh, this was a whole family affair.
Right. Ping said, you know, I was just dropping off my wife at Sally's, and I was told to wait here.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
Dude, my dude.
We believe
you've been
you.
Waiting there for like 3 hours now,
watching the police come and go, and what?
And at no point you were like, oh, something's happening down there. Now, this was looking more and more like a plot to kill Eric, and it seemed Sally was just collateral damage in the situation. The day after the police were called to Sally's house, they searched a property owned by May and Ping Lee, located in Antioch, California, a condo that Rosa owned in Fremont, and they ended up finding also an Acura, like a block away from Sally's house, registered to Rosa. You want to take a guess what was inside that car?
Another bag.
Well, no.
Oh, okay.
Just items strewn about, like, I don't know, more ammunition for the .22 caliber, a hacksaw.
What?
A crossbow.
This is over the top.
A samurai sword. I'm not kidding, Elena. I'm not kidding.
What kind of mission did they think that they were on? Like, seriously.
We'll talk about it at the end to remind me, yeah. Because the weapons they all had, it's like, what were you going to do with all mm-hmm. of that?
Like, they had this whole scene played out in their mind of, we need this in case this. Okay, yeah, so we'll talk about it.
Yeah. So, more weapons. Awesome. But they didn't really find anything at the residence of evidentiary value. That was until they found a third residence that May and Ping Lee owned in Brentwood, California. And it turns out that May, Ping, and Rosa were all getting mail to that address. So it was assumed that that's where they were primarily living. It was there that they were certain that Rosa and her family were plotting, all right. A forensic analysis of the computer found at the Brentwood residence revealed searches like tasers and stun guns and how to break into a house. There was evidence that surveillance on Eric had been ongoing leading up to Sally's murder. There were logs of which cars and at what times they were coming and going from Sally's residence. Rosa, she wasn't just trying to establish their patterns. She wanted to know who was going to that house. She wanted to know who Eric was spending his time with. God forbid he have friends or be dating someone new at any point. Now, in addition to surveilling Eric and his grandmother, they were deciding on the best way to take them out. They looked into revenge spells, which is obviously the first thing you think about when planning a murder. And they researched poisons quite extensively for Eric, Selma, and Gregory Hill. Gregory is Selma's son, Eric's father.
Oh.
Yeah. So they actually explored poisons. They looked into, quote, poison by touch, end quote. They looked into strychnine and cyanide, but they ultimately decided to just buy a bunch of random weapons mm-hmm. and use them in what way is still unclear. So by the fall of 2008, their plan, quote, Operation Custody, which was written all over the notes.
Oh, so, okay, it was an...
Actually...
Mm-hmm. A mission. It was
actually Operation Custody is what they named it, was full steam ahead. Now, May Lee and Rosa Hill were arrested. So was Ping Lee. And he ended up pleading guilty to accessory. But May and Rosa pleaded not guilty. So they went to trial and they were tried together.
Because they still have to have some kind of control about.
Right.
You know, they've.
But isn't it sweet? It's their last mother-daughter. Sure. You know, hurrah. So the trial began March 16th, 2011 and lasted about 6 weeks.
Ooh.
The jury saw the countless notes, the scribbling, the papers, the chicken scratch that was recovered from the Brentwood residence, clearly outlining their plan to kill Eric, Sally, and Gregory Hill. They were going to take down anyone, you know, Eric, obviously. Selma, they believed she was helping him fund all his legal proceedings and things. And plus they had to eliminate her.
She could call the police at any moment.
Exactly. And then Gregory, well, that was his dad. So they're just going to take him out too.
All this planning and they didn't account for other people coming into the house and hearing... Witnessing.
Oh, man. Now, one page of notes said, and I'm quoting directly from the court records here, quote, crime equals desire, ability, opportunity. Flashlight as a weapon to hit at forehead, wrists, critical PTS, and they cannot hit back. Knuckles can do the job. Palm to chin, down to up, low to high. Go to the back of the neck. That tall person may fall back. Ask in a strong voice. The other party may feel compelled to answer. Pepper spray does not work on everybody. Tear gas, a guy could say, give me more. End quote. Other notes referenced the Angel of Death trial. Toxicology. Arsenic, traceless death, and poison tablets.
Mm.
So they were thinking of anything and everything. They were really going for it.
Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever?
Coming crew.
Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The prosecution explained to the jury how May and Rosa went to a gun show months before the murders and purchased one of the guns that they had recovered. They got the guy that sold the gun. He said it was two little Asian women. Mm-hmm. He knew exactly who he sold it to. Because, I mean...
How can you forget that?
Right. A little odd. Mm-hmm. So Rosa's friend also recounted how that they, when they went on a girls' trip to Reno... Before the murders, they went to this sporting goods store and Rosa bought two samurai swords at this sporting. She's on a girl's trip. Okay. I wonder what Dusty would say if I bought two samurai swords on our next Mother's Misbehaving trip.
Let me know how that goes.
You know what? I should do it. But anyway, that really stuck out to her because that was like a very strange purchase. But okay. They also had a taser registration in Maylee's name. Apparently, you have to register a taser when you buy it.
Okay, I didn't know that.
I didn't either. So you register this taser to activate it, but good. Mm-hmm. Thanks for that. Rosa took the stand in her own defense, and she was actually on the stand for like 3 days.
Of course she did.
Mm-hmm. Now, she said that Eric had mental health issues since she's known him.
Mm-hmm.
He exhibited aggressive behavior towards her, and he threatened to kill himself if Rosa left him. Now, I did see it reported that Eric did struggle with mental health issues. But over time, he got the help he needed. And especially before Sally's murder, he was doing great. There was no indication that he abused her in any way. There was no evidence of that. So be his mental health struggles as they were, didn't account for anything that she's talking about. Now, 57-year-old Maylee and Rosa Hill was now 36, were both convicted of murder with malice aforethought and attempted murder on Eric. May got 25 years to life, and Rosa received 36 years to life. Ping, because he pleaded guilty to accessory, he got 4 years.
Oh, wow.
4 years. That is nuts to me, considering his...
He was a driver to a murder scene.
100%. And the plethora of evidence that was at that house, on the countertops, on the table, he was privy to everything. And he was also, I read in some of the court documents, that he was present when a lot of those weapons were purchased. The cashiers remembered an older Asian couple. And so that makes me think couple, man and woman. So that's what makes me think he was just as involved in this as they were.
Yeah.
That's just nuts.
Yeah. 4 years is crazy.
That is crazy. May and Rosa are incarcerated at Central California Women's Facility in Chowchilla. Today, Eric and his daughter are happy, and they're very close. He's so thankful to be alive, and really he thinks that if this hadn't happened, that he may not have had this relationship with his daughter, and she may not have had the relationship with his side of the family that she now does. And besides, Rosa would have made this a living hell. Absolutely. Just moving forward with everything.
Yeah.
Eric fully believes that if Lester hadn't loved Sally the way he did and sent his son to check on her, Eric believes he certainly would be dead too.
Oh, yeah.
Sally deserved to die an old woman warm in her bed, like Rose from the Titanic.
Aww.
In her sweet little floral nightgown with little frills. She deserved for her last moments to be peaceful, not terrifying, gasping for air, traumatic, wondering what was going on. Sally worked hard in her life. She grew up on a farm in North Dakota, and she was the third oldest child of 13 children.
Whoa.
So, you know, she was out there, you know, watching the kids, milking the cows. When she was 20 years old, she traded the farm for California and cosmetology.
Aww.
She married her husband, Lyman Hill, who served in World War II. And when the war was over, she became a stay-at-home mom when they had their son, Gregory. Greg remembers his mother as a wonderful, empathetic woman. And he feels so lucky that he had her. You know, I think a lot of people are like, I mean, we're just born to these people, right?
Yeah.
We're just born to these crazy people.
I didn't ask for this.
I know. But like you and I, we were so blessed to have been born into the families that we were. And Greg just felt so thankful. He said she was willing to help anyone and everyone she could. And when things went south with Eric and his wife, she opened her doors, no questions asked, to Eric and his daughter, without a single thought. I wish I knew more about her. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find really any much more other than her obituary about her life. But I feel like you can get a feel for the legacy that she left behind and just what a sweet soul she was.
Yeah, she lived a long life, and, you know, to have such a full life, getting married, having kids, and then having this sweet relationship at the end of her life.
Her husband died in, I think it was 94. Oh, okay. So she had been alone quite a while.
No.
I don't know how her and Lester met, but yeah. It's just so sweet.
It is very sweet.
And that they were both so unhealthy. It seemed like they were both in such declining health, but they really made it work.
Yeah. And it sounds like they really cared for each other. Yes. I mean, he sent his son over there to check on her. And I just think that
his only begotten son,
Candace. Okay. But wow, I would say that had to have saved Eric's life.
Yeah.
I mean, thank God they were there.
So I watched this documentary because Greg and Eric also gave interviews in this documentary. And in this reenactment, you know how they do this? Mm-hmm. Like, usually the story starts with the 911 call and people are just, this whole mess of crap is going on. And the police are like, what? Like, I couldn't follow the story. Like, I had to keep rewinding and being like, what? Okay, Sally, who's Sally? And now there's all these people in the house that are not Sally.
Yeah. And why are they there?
What's going on?
And why are they hiding? And
it was a mess. And so I was like, what a wild case.
Yeah.
But back to the weapons. The crossbows with the multiple packs of crossbow arrows, the multiple packs of 22 caliber ammunition. There was also another gun, a 38, I think, that they recovered. A hacksaw. What were they going to do? Kill all these people and then dismember them all? And like, what were they going to do?
I wonder if Ping was in the military at all. Like, was he a part of like, hey, this would help in this? Like, they obviously thought it was a mission. They called it an operation.
Yes.
Did he have any military background?
I don't know.
Have these women been diagnosed with bipolar or something?
Right.
Because I feel like that's
very concerning mental state for all these people to think that this is okay. And also, was this all going to go down that night? Because they had the backpack stashed. They had the stuff stashed around the house. They had the stuff in the car that was a block away. They had the stuff in Ping's car. What was all of that about? I mean, they had multiple sets of handcuffs. Mm-hmm. They were really prepared for a battle.
Yeah.
With three people. I mean, I still can't make sense of
what. It is unhinged.
It is unhinged. Yeah. That's the thing, is they clearly over were the not top. Thinking straight. But that is the story of sweet Sally and the attempted murder of Eric Hill.
Well, thank you for telling us of sweet Sally. I wish I could have met her and listened to all the stories she had. You know, she had so many stories.
Oh my gosh. And when you see her picture, you can smell her. Like, you know, when you give your grandmother a hug, mm-hmm. and she smells like old-fashioned perfume.
Powdery.
And powder. And yeah, like baby powder and
how
hairspray. Oh my gosh. You can just.
Aww.
Oh, she was sweet. But rest in peace, Sally.
Well, that was great. Let's do it again sometime.
Let's do it. Bye, guys.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Cousins on Crime. If you're enjoying the show, please rate and review wherever you listen, and consider joining our Patreon for bonus episodes every month.
Follow us on Instagram and Facebook for case photos and to stay up to date with the latest C-on-C news. If you have a case suggestion or just want to tell us how cool we are, email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com. So, one keen what was I going to say besides deputy? I don't know.
One key.
Stutter, 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 stutter.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.